بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. اليوم 11 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1446 الموافق ل 15 من شهر أكتوبر 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So we continue from where we stopped last درس. And I believe during the last درس we talk lastly about the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, where he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إزرة المسلم إلى نصف الساق ولا حرج أو لا جناح فيما بينه وبين الكعبين وما كان أسفل من الكعبين فهو في النار ومن جر إزاره بطرا لم ينظر الله إليه. I guess we talk about this hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the cloth of a believer is up to half of his shin. However, there is no problem if he let it go down up to the Kaabain. And whatever goes below the Kaabain will be placed in hell. And whoever does that out of arrogance and showing off, Allah will not look at him on the Day of Judgment. So this is also the reference in that hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them. And the first person he mentioned was the Muslim Izara. So that was the last hadith we talked about last week. قال وان ابن عمر قال مررت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي إزار استرخاء فقال يا عبد الله ارفع إزارك. قال يا عبد الله ارفع إزارك فرفعته. ثم قال زد فزدت. قال فما قال ثم قال زد فزدت. قال فما زلت أتحراها بعد. قال بعض القوم فقال بعض القوم إلى أين؟ قال إلى نصف الساقين أو إلى أنصاف الساقين. عبد الله بن عمر said, I passed through the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and at that time I have إزار فيه استرخاء. It has some istirkha. Istirkha means it goes down below the ankle. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Ya Abdullah, irfa izarak, bring it up. In some narrations, he asked him, Man ant, who are you? Qala Abdullah. He said, I am Abdullah. Ana Abdullah, I am Abdullah. Qala in kunta Abdullah, farfa izarak. He said, if you're really Abdullah, Abdullah means a slave of Allah. He said, if you're really a slave of Allah, then take it up. He said, irfa izarak. So he put it up. Abdullah ibn Umar said, he told me, up again. I put it up again. So he kept on telling him to put until the time he reached nisfu saqi, half of the shin, and then he told him, amsik, stop, like this. You get it? So this also confirmed what Imam al-Nawawi mentioned, that is wrong for a believer to go against this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جر ثوبه خيلاء لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة. فقالت أم سلمة كيف تصنع النساء بذيولهن؟ قال ينخين شبرا. قالت إذا تنكشف أقدمهن. قال فينخينه ذراعا ولا يزدن على ذلك. عبد الله بن عمر said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever extends his izar up to the level that goes below the ankle, Allah will not look at him on the Day of Judgment. لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة. Allah will not look at him on the Day of Judgment. فقالت أم سلمة. So أم سلمة was there. أم سلمة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very smart. But this is also one of the uniques among the wives of the Prophet. They're all like that, starting from Khadija until the last one. Prophet married only those wise, you know, and stayed with those wise and people who can contribute to his life, you know, adding value to the life of Rasulullah. Yeah, that's why he consults them, he talks to them, he discusses matters with them. If they are not upon that nature, the Rasulullah will not go back to them. And this is a message for all of us. You know, when looking for a partner, you should also think about this issue properly. Somebody who will come and support you in your life. Somebody who will add value to your life and your family's life. So she was the one who, when the Prophet Abu Salama, her husband died, she made the dua, istirja awalan, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But then she said, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlif li khayran minha. She asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her reward for the musibah that happened to her, and also to replace what she lost with the best. But then she think for a moment, you know, questioning the possibility of having somebody better than Abu Salama. She had a very nice life with him. So imagine that it was so excellent life in the way she doesn't think that there is somebody on earth who is like Abu Salama. And then subhanAllah, not very long time after that, demise of her husband, the Prophet ﷺ went to her and he proposed to marry her. And now she remembers, she understands that yes, definitely, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, after you lost somebody, you know, using that dua, bi-idhnillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you somebody who is better. There is no even room of comparison between Rasulullah and Abu Salama, irhamukallah. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, a person like you cannot be rejected. However, I have a lot of children. She said, I have children, and I really don't want them to come and disturb your life. And also, I'm old. I aged. You know, she said, I aged. And also, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a very strong jealousy, and you're not living alone. So many things she mentioned to let the Prophet ﷺ understand that she might not be the appropriate person he's looking for. The Prophet ﷺ laughed. He said, as for the old age, I'm also old. You're old. I'm old. So let's say, no issue with this. As for the jealousy, he said, we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take it away from you, to make it moderate. As for the kids, we will find a way out for them. Rizq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to her and her children. Yeah. There's no way for her to choose Abu Salama if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. And she's going to be his wife in Jannah. Abu Salama, Allah will replace him with that which is better for him. You know, that's Rabbul Alameen. And it's a message for us that whenever something happens to you, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't lose hope. Yeah? No matter how much tough is life, the way out is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just go back to Him and don't worry. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Yeah, you fear Allah, Allah will find a way out for you. Don't worry. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, a way out will come. This is the benefit of accepting Islam and practicing your religion. Allah will stand for you bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, wherever you are, whenever you ask Him. And even if you don't ask, Allah knows your need. He will grant you that which you need without even having you asking Him. So that's Umm Salama. During the Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, had some issue concerning, you know, obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them to shave their hair and to get themselves relief from their ihram. That was too much for them because they are submitting to the interests of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came to perform Umrah. First of all, they were stopped from getting inside Makkah. And also they have very tough condition for them. And all of them are accepted by the Prophet ﷺ. When the believers are hesitating, they want to accept, but actually the scholar said they were hoping that maybe Rasulullah ﷺ will change this. Allah will tell him something else. That's why they did not shave the hair at first when he commanded them. They were not disobeying Rasulullah ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ went to Umm Salama. Why did he go to her? Yeah, because he knows he's living with a smart partner who can advise him. She told him, he said, I'm afraid that Muslims are going to be in trouble. She said, you want that? You want them to do? He said, yes, I want them to do. She said, you go do it first. SubhanAllah. She said, you go do it first. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh, that's fine. He went and he called the person who is going to shave his hair. The moment that person put the blade on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the believers pick up their blades. They shave their hair. They did not even hesitate. Everyone would rush into his blade to just shave. That confirmed the thought of the scholars when they said they wanted to disobey Rasulullah, but they thought maybe something will come that will make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam change that decision. But when they see him shaving his hair, now they are sure that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to change. That's why they rush and did it by themselves. That's why they said at-ta'limu bil-fi'li aqwa min at-ta'limu bil-qawl. Teaching and educating people through actions is greater, much stronger than teaching them through words. You know, and you go through the history, you see this, the application of this wherever you go. So Umm Salama, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if somebody drag his pants below the ankle, will go to hell. Umm Salama said, Ya Rasulullah, but how the sisters are going to do with their tails? Because in the past, they wear hijab, which is a bit loose, goes down and sweep the earth. That's how much they're interested in covering themselves. You Allah, that's how they have the full protection from Allah. Because hijab is an honor. Wallah, hijab is protection. A sister has to know this. Hijab is protection. After Islam, the best protection a sister has is hijab. It brings prestige in the heart of the males, whoever they are. When they see imra'a mutahajjiba, that sensitivity remains in the heart. So that's natural protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them. He said, yudni alayhinna min jalabibihin. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did nicely, they cover everything. So Umm Salama said, she said, Ya Rasulullah, but what are the sisters going to do with their tails? You said if we go below the ankle, we'll be in trouble. But the sisters, they have it. And it goes below the ankle, and it actually sweeps the earth when they move. That's why one of them asked him, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I walk in a place that has najasa. How should I pray? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at the rukhsa in the Sharia. He said, you walk in the place that has najasa, aren't you going to walk later on a place with that najasa doesn't exist in that place? She said, yes. He said, that place which is clean will purify the hijab. SubhanAllah, leniency from the Sharia. So she walked in the place that the hijab might pick up najasa. She walked in another place where there is no najasa. That would be sufficiently enough for her to just pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do with this? Because you said if a person make it like that, might be that part of the body might be going to hell and Allah will not look at him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, sisters are not included. He said, yukhinahu shibra. They should let it go to the ground like this size. This is shibr. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, but if we do that, after a short period of time, it will go up. It will shrink and go up. And then the feet will be uncovered. And this is one of the evidences of the majority of the scholars that says the feet has to be
has to be covered as well.
Especially when the woman prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, if they do that, then the qadam will be uncovered. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if this is the case, then they should let it grow up to one dhira. وَلَا يَزِنَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ But they shouldn't add on top of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to see our sisters, mothers, wives, observing this protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. Observing this protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them, making sure that they do the correct between them and Allah, and also to do the thing between them and the Muslim community, because if she is exposed, which community is going to get distracted? The younger people. And these are the future of the generation, right? They are supposed to take over. If they get lost, then khalas. Get it? So that's why we really advise all the sisters to make sure that they observe their hijab properly and be serious on this matter. Your hijab is your protection. And be the light to Allah, you will not get into trouble. Allah will always find the way out for you.
قال باب استحباب ترك الترفع في اللباس تواضعا.
Imam al-Nawawi says this is a topic that we talk about, the encouragement of the Sharia that a Muslim should stay away from الترفع في اللباس تواضعا, staying away from exaggeration, wearing so fancy clothes. You get it? Out of humiliation. To be moderate in the choices of the dress. But this one is subjective. It depends on the place where you are in. Get it? It depends on the place where you are in. You're living with the people who are very poor. Very, very poor. It's mustahab not to come out of your house, you know, to the community in that extraordinary fancy clothes. Because it affects the heart of those poor people. To be moderate, not to wear very cheap one, and not to wear very expensive one, and not to wear the one that is so many, that has so many patches just to look like them. No, to be moderate. Good, but moderate. The one that would not disturb the poor people. You might say, who cares, that's the problem, who asked them to look at me? But don't forget, this is part of our nature, right? And this is not good for you. It's good for you to be moderate. However, if you're living in an area which is a very affluent area, you have very rich people in that place. The poorest person is one who has, what is the name of the latest car? Rolls Royce or something. I don't know whether this car exists or not, but you have the people who are living in that community, they are people who have a lot of money. They're so rich, you know, living that affluent and expensive life. And you are also like them. You're also one of them. Is it good for you to wear those type of clothes that are very moderate? No. The scholar said it's not good for you to look different from them. Merge yourself with them to keep that respect between you and them. But when you're going to the poor people, poor community, it's better to be moderate. You get it? You're going to visit a community that is full of poor people. And you have 5-6 cars. One of them is Kanchil. Go with Kanchil. Don't go with those expensive cars, you know, in the way the people, even sisters in the house, they will come and watch who is visiting us today. And then it will become an issue for their husbands. Why aren't you doing good in your earning, you know? You get the idea. So it's good to observe this attitude mentioned by our scholars. They said it's subjective. You know, wearing clothes that is mutawada depends on the person and the place where you are located in.
قال وعن معاذ بن أنس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من ترك اللباس تواضعا لله وهو يقدر عليه دعاه الله يوم القيامة على رؤوس الخلائق حتى يخيره من أي حلل إيمان شاء يلبسها.
معاذ بن أنس said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
من ترك اللباس تواضعا. Whoever stays away from cloth, type of cloth, out of humbleness and humility. وهو يقدر عليه. But at the same time, you have ability to get that cloth. But you just stay away from it so that you will be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and also humble to the people in the community. You get it? It's a very good behavior. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants everyone to observe humility and humbleness. He says, "Inna Allah awha ilayya an tawadaw." Allah revealed to me a wahi that everyone should be humble. Hatta la yafkhara ahadun ala ahad, so that nobody will show arrogance against another person. Allah revealed to me that everyone should be mutawada, so that nobody will be arrogant against another one, and nobody will oppress another one. And a good news for the people who are humble: Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma tawada ahadun lillah illa rafa'ahu Allah." A person will never put himself down for the sake of Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate him in ranking. You get it? It's good for a person to be humble. The more lower you put yourself, the upper Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you up. That's how it is. You want to show arrogance, Allah will bring you down. And nobody will respect you except somebody who is afraid of you because of your position, because of your, you being in the authority. But the moment you lose these, you will see the true picture of yourself in the community. Nobody respects you. But trust me, if you have the leadership, you are among the people on top, and you are humble. Trust me, even after leaving that office, you already left that job, you come back to the community, people are going to maintain the same respect when they see you. You become like a father for them. Yeah. But if you are not like that, they will love you because of your job. So actually, they're not afraid of you, they're afraid of that job. Once the job is gone, then the true relationship between you and others will come. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you have to stay away from certain types of clothes out of humbleness, وَهُوَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and you can have it, you have the ability to get it. He says, جَاءَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, he says, دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى يُخَيِّرَهُ مِنْ أَيِّ حُلَلِ الْإِيمَانِ شَاءَ يَلْبَسُهَا. Allah will call him on the day of judgment in front of everyone, in the presence of everyone, and ask him to choose from any type of nice fancy cloth of iman he wants. Very beautiful hadith. However, it's weak narration, but very beautiful hadith. So we can take from it that tawadu is encouraged in Islam in everything, including in your libas. Yeah, that's why it's wrong for a person to have ability, to have money, and still he is wearing wrong and ugly clothes. Allah doesn't like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah wants whenever He grants you a ni'mah to see the sign of that ni'mah on you. And that's the next hadith, which Imam an-Nawawi says, بَابٌ إِسْتِحْبَابُ التَّوَسُّطُ فِي اللِّبَاسِ وَلَا يَكْتَسِرُ عَلَى مَا يُزْرِي بِهِ لِغَيْرِ حَاجَةٍ وَلَا مَقْصُودٍ شَرَعِيٍ. He says, this new chapter will talk about the encouragement of the Sharia that a Muslim should be moderate in his clothes, should be moderate in whatever he wears. And a person shouldn't stick to those ugly clothes all the time, unless if there is a need for that. Like we say sometimes when you visit a poor community, yeah, not to show arrogance, because it will be very difficult for you if you go in that fancy clothing and everyone is poor in the community. It's very difficult for you to maintain your humbleness. If you're not careful, you're going to be arrogant. Seeing yourself, you're the only different person in the place. You know, everyone is down and you are up. Everyone doesn't have a car except you, and you have this fancy car. Yeah, it's better to go with something that is moderate and march with them. Better for your attitude, your iman, and your behavior, your relationship with them and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. You get it? So Imam an-Nawawi says, if there is no need for going to the lower level, you shouldn't do. And the same goes to the situation when there is no need shara'an for you to be in that kind of cloth. If there is a need shara'an for you to be in that kind of cloth, like when? During the salat al-istisqa. The scholars, the fuqaha said, when we are going for istisqa, you know istisqa, right? Looking for water, looking for rain. When the rain doesn't come, then we go to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has so many forms. You know, some of the scholars said, most of the scholars believe that it has so many ways to make it. But there are some scholars who said it's only dua, you just make dua. And they're taken from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, when that Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, the animals are dying, houses are gone, you know, and nobody is able, and the farms are dying. Nobody is able to go for business, business is dying. Why is that? He says, because there is no rain, Ya Rasulullah. He says, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with rain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Anas ibn Malik said, Wallahi, if you look at the sama, there is no qaza, no single piece of cloud on the sky. But then right after the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a piece of cloud appears from the side of the Salah. Salah is not far from the place where they dug the trenches during the Battle of the Trenches. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. That small cloud that emerged, that exists, come out, kept on emerging, increasing. It covers Medina, subhanAllah. Qala al-Rawi, fa'amtarat usbu'an. So it rained for one week. Non-stop raining, 1 week. Yeah. That man came back again next week. Oh, another person. He came, he said, Ya Rasulullah, animals are dying. The same thing. He said, animals are dying. People are in trouble. The farms are dying also, Ya Rasulullah. He said, ask Allah to help. Because just ask for rain doesn't specify which rain. So Allah gave him. And now when he came back, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do the dua again. And subhanAllah, ayah min ayat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Ya Allah, hawalina wa la alayna. Around us, not on us, Ya Allah. SubhanAllah, they said, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the water to go to butun al-awdiyat wal-akam wa manabit al-shajab, they said in front of their eyes, they see the water moving out of Medina, subhanAllah. It goes to places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely mentioned. So that's a form of istisqa. Another form of istisqa is to go out to an open area with the imam and pray. This is the most famous one, accepted by the vast majority of the scholars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. So we go and make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down rain. The fuqaha said, it's mustahab for a person who goes to salat al-istisqa to go in a very, normal cloth, thiyab in ratha. You're going to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said you should be very humble. Wear the very normal clothes you have. Because you're going for tawbah and istighfar. But if you wear the fanciest clothes you have, it's like you're going to a feast. It doesn't match the salat al-istisqa. Yeah, that's why when we go to the istisqa, they said you should intensify the istighfar. Because what is the cause of drought and famine and lack of rain? Dhunub wal ma'asi. Dhunub wal ma'asi. That's why we have to do a lot of istighfar and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it to come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا مَنَعَ قَوْمٍ الزَّكَاءَ إِلَّا مُنِعُ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He says that people will never stay away from paying zakah except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive them from a single drop of rain. He says, if you don't pay the zakah, Allah will deprive us from single drop of rain. And the reason why we are getting the rain, because among us there are innocent animals and children who are not involved in what we are doing. May Allah grant us good. Inshallah, in the next dars, we read the hadith under this chapter, and also the hadith of al-hadith with Dhahab, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mabuthi rahmatan lil alamin. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd.
There are two questions. The first question, I guess we already answered it in our dars today. It's about how to draw, where to draw a balance between wanting to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed you of His blessings and also being humble. So this questioner wants to know what to do. They want to, you know, appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them by dressing white, dressing neat and also nice. But at the same time also they want to be moderate. So they see it as a contradiction between this and that. But I guess we already talk about this and how to do it, when to go like this and when to go like that. Okay, in the normal circumstances, a person should always be moderate. Yeah, in the normal circumstances, a person should always be moderate. Clean, neat, wearing something good. Yeah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him what to buy clothes, he should go for this. The second question says, this is a person that has an iPad, but he's the only one who has it in the class. Only one. Is it good for him to use it in a class or to wait until some other people also got it? Yeah, the second one is better for him. Yeah, it's better for him not to use it in the classroom if nobody has it except him. Unless if the teacher knew about that and asked him to bring it for some practical examples, then that's okay. But when it comes to taking note, I will prefer for him to use the normal paper like anybody else until the time people have. That's if he's the only one who has. But if there are a couple of them in the classroom who has, but majority don't have, it's fine. Because in this regard, he's not the only one, right? The possibility of being arrogant is somehow low, as in the case when he is the only one who has it in the classroom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته